So last time, we were continuing our discussion of probability and moving eventually up into the concept of cues and and the analysis of cues. So last time we looked at stochastic processes, and random. So the idea that of processes that evolve with time, and we ended up with the idea of a restriction on these stochastic processes to Markov processes, where the key feature of a Markov process is the memoryless property, which says that whatever state you're in, that fully fixes the transitions, the probability, the distribution of the process from that point on, and you don't need to worry about how you got into that state. What we're going to look at today is, again, moving towards this idea of cues and how we analyze cues, because they're going to be essentially a special case of these Markov processes. And so we'll start by defining what are called birth-death processes, and then see how that moves into queuing. Okay, so a birth-death process is a Markov chain with discrete states which transitions between adjacent states only. Okay, so you can't hop from any state to any state. You just essentially go up or down. Okay. And you therefore get sort of this, you can represent these processes fairly easily using a state transition diagram. So again, your states go from 0, 1 to possibly up to infinity. And you're going to be moving only between neighbor states. And then, obviously we can define the rate at which you're moving between those states. Okay, so just specific to this diagram, the numbered circles are our states. For our purpose, we can think of this as being the number of packets in the system, for instance. So we're just counting. And so you have just that sum number. The arrows represent possible transitions, so changes in the number of packets in the system. So again, you can either have an arrival, in which case you go up by one, or a departure, in which case you go down by one. We can label these arrows with our transition rates. So here we have arrival rates, lambda 0, lambda 1, lambda k minus 1, lambda k. So when you're in any given state, you've got a possible rate on the arrival. That rate can be state dependent, but just not history dependent. So it's only going to depend on where you are currently. Similarly, for the departures, you have rates mu, which can be state dependent, but aren't history dependent. Okay. So these this class of processes are called birth-death processes, where obviously arrivals correspond to births, departures correspond to deaths. That's tied to their original application, which was in sort of studying populations of people, mainly animals, possibly. Okay. So again, lambda then is a birth rate. Lambda k is the birth rate in state k. For our purposes, we're tying that probably to arrivals of packets when there are already k packets in the system. Mu k is the death rate, and again, for our purpose, this is probably not packets dying, but packets being served and shoved out of the system. And again, that might be dependent on how many are in the system. Okay. So, we're going to sort of have a look at the properties of these sorts of systems. In particular, we're going to concentrate on the transient solutions. So we're going to look at what happens in these systems as time moves on. And we're going to make further assumptions, which will allow us to sort of represent these transient solutions in a nice mathematical fashion, and furthermore, when we push on, they will allow us to analyze then steady state solutions. Okay. So from last lecture, we know that we can define a distribution on our states, and that distribution is time dependent and is related to our transition rates. So you get pi, derivative of pi at time t equals pi of t times q, where q is our transition matrix. Okay. And so our transition matrix has a fairly regular form now. So for the original state, well, again, you either move state 1 to the next state up if the rate of 1 to 0, or with a rate of, you balance the rate, so with a rate of minus lambda 0, you stay where you are. For every other state, you can either move a state down, so that's with a rate mu k if you're in state k, or move a state up with a rate lambda k if you're in state k, and then again this is balanced out with the probability of staying where you are, and those would all have to sum to zero. Okay, so again, this is just saying that we're balancing out all of our, we have to balance out our flows. Okay, so if we just write these, that out as equations, we have our starting point. D pi 0 and dt is lambda 0 pi 0 plus mu 1 pi 1. Okay.
And then for any K, you again have lambda K. You're moving in from the state below. You're moving out. You're moving in from the state above, and then balanced out by
remaining where you are. So, this is obviously an infinite set of equations, but the form for the equations is regular, and it's possible that we can do something with that. And again, if we make further assumptions, we're going to be able to simplify that even further. Okay. So it doesn't always have to be simple, and again, if your lambdas and mus are changing, then you're going to get it's going to be difficult to necessarily come up with a closed form solution. What we're going to do again is impose further constraints on our birth death process, and define what's called the Poisson process. And for that process now, we're going to be able to deal with both our transient and our steady state solutions. Okay, so again, the transient solution is a function of t. The steady state solution is going to be the limit of what happens as t goes to infinity, and what we assume there, because it's steady state, these probabilities stop changing, and so this side of the equation will zero out, and we'll be left solving for the rest. Okay, but today we're going to stick to looking at the transient solution. Okay, so again, we're going to look at this special birth-death process. We're going to look at the Poisson process. And this is used quite extensively to model arrival times of packets into a system, from our point of view. And what we see is it's a way of representing a very random arrival process, but one which has some stability features to it. Okay, so we're going to take our birth-death process now and look just at the birth end of it. Okay. So we're going to assume that our arrivals are random. And then seek to describe that process. And there's a number of ways that we can describe that process. The first one was we might just describe the arrival times. Okay. So we have at T0, so we start at T0, we get our first arrival at T1, our ith arrival at TI, etc. We're going to make one assumption early on, and that's that we have at most one arrival at any point in time. Okay, so two things can't occur at the same time. You can't have two arrivals at once. Okay. And this is called a simple point process. If things happen more or less simultaneously, you just say that they're very close together, but never exactly at the same time. Okay. Now, it's
a bit awkward to these T's
obviously are random, so they have some sort of random distribution associated with them. They're a bit awkward to work with because there are correlations between each of the T's. So, obviously, you know, there's an ordering, and the ordering is, imposes a correlation. So, instead of looking at the arrival times frequently, what we're going to do is we're going to look at inter-arrival times, so the time between arrivals. Okay, so tau 1 is T1 minus T0, tau 2 is T2 minus T1, etc. So it's the time between arrivals. Okay. And we're going to assume that these inter-arrivals have certain characteristics. In particular, we're going to assume that the inter-arrival times are independent and identically distributed. Okay. And so, taking our three assumptions, that we have at most one arrival, and then that the inter-arrival times are independent and identically distributed, IID, then we have a specific sort of arrival process called a renewal process. Okay. So this renewal process was, we're going to find relatively easy to deal with. Okay, so another way of looking at this renewal process is as what's called a counting process. So we can define a stochastic process that where the trace is the count of the number of arrivals at any given time. Okay. So every time a packet arrives, the count goes up by one, and obviously it stays fixed in between arrivals. Okay. So then we can look at the number of arrivals that are occurring in between any two points in time, non-overlapping points in time. So if we take T1 to T2, then you have certain, say, two arrivals. If you take T3 to T4, again, you'll get two arrivals. If you take some bigger portion, you'll get more arrivals. We say the process has independent increments, so sort of the count is got some sort of independent distribution. If our increments are independent for non-overlapping intervals. So again, what happens in one time interval is not impacting what happens in any other time interval. And then furthermore, we say the process has stationary increments if whenever those time intervals are the same length, then they have the same distribution. Okay, so the same probability statistics govern what happens in any two intervals of the same length. Okay, so again, this NT defines a stochastic process. Okay. So, if we look at that in terms of Markov chains, a process with independent increments is a Markov process. Again, what's happening is not dependent on history. Okay. We're interested in a very specific form of that Markov process that is stationary, has independent increments, and again is simple. Okay. So what we're going to see is that there is one and only one form that this process can take, and we refer to that as, again, the Poisson process, so we can attach, we can actually write down the distribution for this, and there's only one that will satisfy these conditions of stationary and independent. We can construct the Poisson process as a time-homogeneous, pure-birth Markov chain where the birth rate in all states is constant and the death rate in all states is zero. Okay, so this is going to give us this is going to bring us back to this idea of our simple Markov, our simple arrival process. Okay, so again, we're looking at a pure birth process, and our arrival rates now are not state dependent. They're the same no matter what state you're in. Our death rates are zero. We're looking again, pure birth, arrival, etc. Okay. So we're going to assume we start in state zero, so nothing is there, and then again packets arrive at this with this average rate of lambda. Okay. So we're going to have this function of counting how many at any given time. We can count how many packets are in the system and corresponding to at any given time what state are we in. Okay, so what we see is we've got an even simpler a state rate diagram now. So you either move a state up or remain where you are. Okay, which, and again, we simplify our
equations. So again, for when we're in state zero, the derivative of our distribution is just minus lambda times the distribution. When we're in any other state, the derivative of our distribution is lambda pi k of t minus lambda pi k minus 1 of t minus lambda pi k of t.
So again, we can think about solving these. In order to solve them, again, we need an initial condition, and our initial condition is the initial state distribution, so pi k of zero. And we've said that we start in state zero, so your probability of one of being in that state, and a probability of zero of being anywhere else. Okay, so again, you can solve the differential equations sort of iteratively. You start by solving for pi 0, and once you have that, you can solve for each pi k in turn. So you're going to get that pi 0 of t is e to the minus lambda t. And moving on, you'll do the solving of the pi 1, you get d pi 1 dt is plug in pi 0, lambda pi 0 is a lambda e to the minus lambda t minus lambda pi 1 of t. You can solve that, and the solution gives you pi 1 of t is lambda t, e to the minus lambda t. And you can just keep going, and you'll get that pi k of t is lambda t to the k over k factorial, e to the minus lambda t. Okay. So again, we've now gone from sort of having a general set of equations, which is sort of difficult to solve, to being able to solve and get a fixed solution. Okay. And again, that solution has fallen out just from this form falls out just from the assumptions that we've made. And it's the only, again, it's the unique solution given those assumptions. Okay. So, what do we have? This is the transient solution to the pure birth process with all of our solutions, all of our assumptions. And again, this is what is the Poisson process. So, if you look up Poisson process, you're going to see those equations, and we've now seen where those come from. Okay, so just taking a look at the form that this takes. Okay, so we've defined our random variable nt as the number of packets arriving in, well, we can define nt as the number of packets arriving in between 0 and some fixed time capital T. Okay, and so since nt is just, this nt is just going to be the distribution is going to be the distribution on the states, nt is the state you're in at time, at some fixed time. Okay. So the probability that
NT equals K, so that you're in any given state after time, or sort of at time, capital T, is just pi K of T. Yeah, just as we've just defined it. And so if we look at, say if we fix some T, again, if it's small, then what you see is that you're more likely to be in state zero, and your likelihood of being in state, any further state, again, is decreasing. So you end up with sort of a bulge towards lower states, and then a decreasing likelihood as you go on. Again, because obviously the shorter your time, the less likelihood of an arrival there is. Okay, we can also look at the time, so we can define a random variable Tn, which is the time at which there are exactly n arrivals, and then we have a PDF associated with Tn. That's obviously just the probability of being in state n. Okay. So the distribution on for a fixed n, the probability distribution is given by pi n. And again, if you look then at any given distribution, the probability of being in any state n, because again, because it's a pure arrival process, you're going to go to that state and move off from that state. So you end up with a bulge at some point where you're most likely to again be in that state, and then as time increases, that tails off, and obviously the higher the state, that wave or bulge is moving further in time, because it'll take you longer to get, on average, it'll take you longer to get to higher numbered states. Okay. So, again, we can calculate moments for our Poisson process. And we'll look at the first couple of moments. So we can look at the expected value on the number of arrivals. And so, again, that's just sort of some sort of average over the states. So expected value of NT is K or N, so probability that you're in that state at time t. Okay, so the notation has morphed a little here. We've moved from pi to p. There's no pi, p, well, p is equivalent, pk is equivalent to pi k, and just a lot of times books when not particularly when referring to something like a Poisson,
to a specific process, we'll use P instead of pi. Okay. So we can just plug in,
we have e to the minus lambda t sum k, where k factorial lambda t to the k. So pull out the e to the minus lambda t, divide, get rid of the k. So k over k factorial gives you k minus 1 factorial. Then move it back to k. So we change our subscripts. We change from going from 0 to infinity and pull out the extra. We change from going from 1 to going to, to 0. And then we pull out the extra lambda t that occurs because of that. And if you then take that sum, this will give you e to the lambda t. So you do lambda t times e to the minus lambda t gives you 1, and then you're left with the lambda t. Okay, so we can also look at the variance. So we're going to have to calculate expected value of n squared of t. It turns out, just as a trick, we'll evaluate the quantity e to the n t times e to the n t minus 1. That just allows us to sort of do our sums tidily. Okay. And so nt gives us sum over k. So nt t is k. Nt minus 1 is k minus 1. And probably k t. Working our way down, we can get rid of these k and k minus 1 terms, which has a summing from k. We change that, change the sum from 0 to 2, and pulling out our lambda t twice then, and then just change, we can change from 0 to, from 2 to 0 by starting of k instead of k minus 2. Okay. And that's going to give you lambda t squared. To evaluate the variance, then, we need the expected value of nt squared minus the square of the expected value. And if we look, so we look at the sum that we calculated, and to that we add the expected value of nt. So then that will give us e. If we do that, the expected value of n squared will fall out, and then subtract it off our square of the mean. And so we get lambda t squared plus lambda t minus lambda t squared. So we get that the variance is lambda t. Okay. So that's, one way of doing it. You could also use your Z transforms. This is... there's a well-known Z transform, and then these things would fall out probably a little quicker.
Okay. So we've defined this Poisson process. We're now going to go back and look at the interarrival times that we get for this process. Okay. So we have a good, we have a distribution on our count and some idea of time, but now we want to look at these time differences. Okay. So, if we start, if we take, you know, again, our start is the arrival of one, as an arrival, and then we're waiting for the next arrival, we can calculate the probability that in any given time period, we have no arrivals. Okay, that's pi zero. So the probability then, the reverse, that you do have an arrival is going to be 1 minus pi 0. So pi 0 is e to the minus lambda t. The probability of actually having an arrival in a given period of time is 1 minus e to the minus lambda t. So that gives us our cumulative distribution function for tau, the interarrival time, as f tau of t is probability tau is less than or equal to t is 1 minus e to the minus lambda t. And you can just take a derivative to then find your PDF for tau. Okay. So f tau of t is lambda e to the minus lambda t. So that's our exponential distribution. Okay. So this exponential distribution has its own memoryless property. Okay, so so we'll look at an arrival occurring at time zero, and let's assume that some time passes with no arrivals. So conditioned on nothing having arrived yet, we ask, what's the probability that the next arrival will occur in t seconds? So what's the conditional probability? So we know that we observe tau is greater than t0. What's the probability that tau is less than t plus t0 then? So we have probability that the arrival will occur at time t initially, and then the probability that it will occur at t plus t0, I should say, plus probability would occur at t plus t0, given we've observed that it hasn't arrived as of t0. Okay.
So the probability is the probability of the intersection of the two events, which is that the arrival does happen sometime between t0 and t plus t0, divided by, scaled by the probability that it hasn't happened at t by t0. The probability that you're in this portion is the probability that the event occurred at some point between 0 and t plus t0 minus the probability that it occurred before t0. Okay, so you're just looking at, you know, again, these are just intervals, so it's easy to define the probabilities of intervals given the probability of a half of any given interval, given probability of these half intervals. Plugging that in, we get again probability of t less than t plus t0 is 1 minus e to the minus lambda t plus t0 minus 1 minus e to the minus lambda t0. That's divided by then e to the minus lambda t0. So these ones cancel out. So you're left with e on the top, you're left with e to the minus lambda t0 minus e to the minus lambda t plus t0. On the bottom, you're dividing by e to the minus lambda t0. So you get 1 and then minus e to the minus lambda t. Okay. So again, what this means is that it doesn't matter, history doesn't matter, how long you've actually been waiting for an arrival doesn't matter. Conditionally, if the arrival hasn't occurred, then you've got the same distribution going forward. And so so conditionally, given you haven't had an arrival again, you've essentially just moved your curve. It falls out of sort of the shape of the curve plus sort of the scaling factor. Okay. And the idea that, if you did have an arrival, then essentially you're in one part of your initial distribution. If you don't have an arrival, then again, you're likelier sort of again to sort of go on further. Okay. What we get is this cycle of essentially of memoryless properties. So, the Markov chain is memoryless, and then this led to our Poisson process, and then
the Poisson process is itself demonstrates, and the Poisson and or exponential process again demonstrates these memoryless properties. Okay. So, just to have a look at what can we, one example of something we can analyze using these Poisson processes, we're going to look at an example of an optical burst switch. Okay, so these optical burst switches are a proposed architecture for wide area fiber optic networks. And currently, if you have a fiber optic network, what you end up doing, they operate on a circuit switched paradigm. Okay. And so this has all of the pluses and minuses of circuit switching. In particular, you're reserving resources whether or not you need them. Now, the problem with using packet switching is exactly that, the switching. So, excuse me, if you think about your classic store and forward network, you receive a packet, you examine it, you decide where it's going to go next. So that's all done in the electronic, the fiber optics guys call the electronic domain. Okay. And what that does is it slows everything down. If your switching is electronic, you then limit your speed. The speed of your network is limited by the speed of your switching. So what you want to do is all optical switching, but then somehow you have to determine... You have to say a packet, and again, this is something that's difficult to do without sort of slowing things down. So the the path can't be determined, and the switches can't be set fast enough for a single packet transmission. So the proposal is to aggregate together a bunch of packets. Okay. So you have these bigger blocks. They take longer to transmit. They give you some time to get your switches set. Okay. And so... obviously, you have to aggregate together packets that are going in the same direction, but the idea is assemble these bursts of packets at the edge of the network, then shoot them through really quickly. Okay. So, we're going to look at a very simple question now, which just has to do about... assembling these packets and what size packets will be assembled. So we make a bunch of assumptions. We assume our packets are of a constant length, b bytes, and they're arriving with exponentially distributed inter-arrival times. So they're they're represented by a Poisson process.
Okay.
The rate of arrival is lambda packets per second. So these packets will be aggregated together into these larger data bursts. And the way a burst is assembled is we start a timer, and for the duration of that timer, any packet that arrives, we add them into the burst.
Okay.
Then, when the timer goes off, we transmit. So we'll call that case one. One complication is that if too many packets arrive, well, we have a maximum burst size, a maximum size that the system can handle. So if you reach some maximum number of packets before the timer is sent, then we transmit our burst, and we start the process over again. Okay. So the question is, can we find an average size for the data burst sent on this optical link? Okay, so we'll take a look at these two cases. Okay, so in the first case, we have a certain number of arrivals, and when we hit our maximum time, we stop and we transmit what we have. In the second case, we reach our maximum size, our maximum number, our state, and before our timer expires, so we just stop at that point and transmit. Okay. So, how can we look at this? Well, we'll look at the two cases. Given the average arrival rate of lambda, we know that the average number of packets arriving in an interval of length t is lambda t. So we start the timer when the first packet arrives. So for case one, all of our future packets are going to be added to the burst. Therefore, the burst size is b times the average number that arrive in our timer interval, so lambda t, plus our first packet that started the process off. In case two, we've just reached our maximum number of packets, so the size of the burst is b times our maximum number. So the likelihood of this case two is the likelihood that we have at least n max minus 1, so minus our first one that started everything off, packets arriving in the time interval t. Okay. So we can calculate the probability of having case 2.
Yeah, it's a probability, some number greater than n max minus 1 or greater than or equal to n max minus 1 packets arrived. Or 1 minus the probability that we had less than that number of packets. Okay, so this is handy because it's a finite sum. Okay. So one of the two cases has to apply. If case two applies, we have Pmax, the burst. So the average is over the two cases. So case two gives us Pmax, or B times Nmax times, and weighted by Pmax. Case one then gives us B times lambda t plus 1, weighted by 1 minus Pmax. Okay. So, again, the structure of the process allowed us to do this calculation. The future arrivals that are independent of the first arrival, so we can just look at it from point to point to point. Okay. So we've done all this work in looking at the properties of our Poisson process. And so it's the most widely used process for modeling the arrivals of packets in a communication system. And, one argument for that is because it's mathematically tractable, but the characteristics can arguably apply to these sorts of systems. So, the Poisson process, it can be argued that it represents a sort of maximum randomness, sort of within an interval. You know, again, the distribution is going to be the same. So, to some extent, you're sort of it's always random. Okay, so if you don't know anything about your system, that's not a bad assumption. It's just that, you know, anything goes. Also, it can be shown that if we look at independent arrival processes, so we're now not making any particular assumption on their distributions, but if we combine them, but we do assume an arrival rate, and if we combine them, then summing them together or combining them together will actually give us a Poisson process as n goes to infinity. So as you have larger and larger numbers of contributors, then the arrival process starts to look Poisson. Okay. So if you think about your network being a collection of, you know, thousands of users, then if you sum together all their behavior, then it should, you know, if you assume they're each random, you don't know much about what they're doing, but as you add a lot of these random guys together, they start having a Poisson-like behavior.
And so
we can also be shown for binomial distributions. So either things happen or they don't. That again, you get similar convergence to Poisson. So if you look at the sort of greater and greater probabilities.
Okay, so that makes it sort of a good default model. Again, we're looking at large numbers of independent users in the system. So whether this is people at the end of a phone or a computer, they're generating infrequent arrivals. And again, this is going to start looking Poisson. Okay. So again, for all these systems where you have lots of users, it does look, the arrival processes do look that way. Okay, so one final example of Poisson processes and their properties. If you consider a number of independent Poisson processes, each with some arrival rate, lambda k, then when we aggregate these together, then we arrive at a Poisson process with, again, the arrival rate being the sum of your individual arrival rates. So to see that, we look at these independent processes. The probability of no arrival in any time frame is just e to the minus lambda 1 t, e to the minus lambda 2 t, which again is e to the minus the sum of those lambdas times t. And of course the probability then that you have an arrival is the trick we used before, so is 1 minus that, so you get 1 minus e to the minus lambda, sum of the lambdas times t. Okay. That's our cumulative, that would be our cumulative distribution function. Again, if we take the derivative, we get our probability density function. Okay, so again, these Poisson processes have nice properties, and we can at least in terms of arrivals in the sorts of systems that we're looking at, we can argue that it's not an unreasonable distribution. So okay, so that, yeah, the one final comment on this example is that you can think of, again, if we take this view that Poisson processes have this maximal randomness, obviously, if you sum a bunch of them together, you can't get any more random, so again, you must still be a Poisson process. So, we're going to finish up today looking at then queuing models. So, these are, again, can be represented as birth-death models, and again, they'll have then arrivals and departures, and frequently, again, we're going to assume that our arrivals at least are Poisson processes. But this is a good time to take a break. We'll return to this one final section. It's not actually that long. We'll just finish up after a break. So the usual 15 or 20 minutes.